Hey, this is Jim Larrabee. I'm the lead pastor here at First Christian Church, and this is our podcast. My prayer is that the words you hear encourage you, that they challenge you, that they build your faith and draw you closer to Jesus. So enjoy. Man, I tell you, that's God's always here at FCC. I love it, I love it, I love it. But this morning, I tell you, his presence has been here in an extra special kind of way. And so shout out to the worship team for bringing God's heart and everything that's been going on. Absolutely. And first service was unique, and you can already sense God is doing unique things here in this service too, which is powerful. So let me just say this. Whatever it is you're looking for, whatever it is you walked in thinking you were looking for, whether it was hope or whether it was some type of transformation or whether it was an answer or just, man, a sense of peace or grace. We have so many people that walk in here needing mercy. I'm here to tell you, it's found in Jesus. All those things you're looking for are found in Jesus, and Jesus is here, and he is ready. He has open arms ready to receive you just as you are, so that he can walk you where he wants you to be. And our prayer room has been full all morning long. At any point during worship, during preaching, if you wanna have a conversation about how the real Jesus can do real work in your heart and your life, then you just get up and walk out, man, right there, prayer room, and you let God do his work in you this morning. Man, it's been so cool to see God do that. As much as I enjoy preaching, I tell you, man, it's not about a person. It is all about Jesus and what he's bringing and what he's doing this morning. So I'm looking forward to it. We're still going to dive into the message that God has for us here in 1 Thessalonians. So if you got your Bibles, your Bible apps, if you need a Bible, you can absolutely grab one out of the prayer room also. Those are free for you to have so you can be in God's word, so that you can hear God speak. And so we love people being on a journey with Christ. And we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians. So if you're new to us, that's where we are. A quick history. My name is Jim Larrabee, lead pastor. Pastor First Christian, if you're wondering who I am. And we've been in this study of the book of 1 Thessalonians. And so looking through what God has to say for us in this book, and it started slow, right? Started incredibly slow. And that is all on me, not on you, all on me. You know, we were in the first chapter and we're looking at these power words, these words of power that the Apostle Paul gave us. And when I mean power, it's not like you say them and something special happens. I mean power because they're loaded with truth that transforms our lives. Words like church. Jim, the word church changes our life? Absolutely. When you understand what church is, when you understand that church means we belong, man, so many of us wrestle with belonging to anything. You know, does anyone want me? Do I belong to anything? Is there any purpose here for me? I'm here to tell you, church is your belonging. That God himself has said that you are my son and my daughter, and I've given you brothers and sisters. You are in a family. You belong. You've been called out. You've been called into God's kingdom. The statements like you are loved, another power word in that first chapter of 1 Thessalonians, you know, you're loved. That some of us just needed to hear that you are chosen first, not last, not because God couldn't get anyone else at any other church and just like, man, maybe First Christian has someone I can put on the list. No, my friend, you are chosen. The God of the universe before the creation of the world said you, chose you. We're chosen, then we're also called to imitate. Imitate Jesus himself. A little bit of that, what would Jesus do? Not WWJD, what would Jim do? That'll get you in the wrong place at the wrong time, like 75% of the time, and you'll drive too fast. I'm talking about WWJD, what would Jesus do? We talked about that. We talked about imitating Christ and what that was. That's all of chapter one. 1 Thessalonians, Paul says, here it is, power words for you. And then chapter two and chapter three, and this is where we started to speed up. Chapter two and chapter three of 1 Thessalonians is Paul telling a personal story. He's like, okay, I've given you words of power and truth and strength for you to grab a hold of. Now, let me tell you how those words of power and truth and strength play out in my story. And then the story that Paul gave us of his journey, woo! Man, it was a little messy, wasn't it? And there's some ups and downs in that thing. I mean, we all want this journey with Christ to be like happy, happy, joy, joy, but sometimes it's just not, never, you know? And we heard Paul talk about that. Man, there are some valleys that we have to walk through. But what truth did we glean from Paul in that? This statement right here, that there are times that God entrusts us. when he entrusts us with trials, when he places in our hand, when he puts in front of us, when he allows them in our lives, he entrusts us with these trials to grow us. Now, hands down, no one likes this. It's okay for all of us to go, man, I am not liking, nope. I think that's a movie, nope, right? It's okay that we don't like them. I don't think any of us do. I know I don't. But the great truth is some of those places that we have to walk, some of those challenges, some of those things we face, those are the places where God does some of his greatest work in us. And so the Apostle Paul spends two whole chapters teaching us that, teaching us the deep work that God does when we have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that God does when we have to face those giants, that God does when the wall of Jericho is way too high. You know, that God is still real and he's still powerful and he still changes us and changes things and changes circumstances when we walk with him even through the tough times. And so chapter 1, chapter 2, and 3 leads us this morning to chapter 4. Like I said, we were walking and now we are running. And here we are at chapter 4, and Paul's going to do something different. He's given us power words. He's given us a personal story. Now he's going to say, okay, I want to give you something practical. Chapter 5 is going to be about God's second coming. It's going to be cool. It's going to be fun. We're going to be talking about that later. But today in chapter 4, I'm going to give you something practical. So hopefully you found it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to start with verse 1. But before we do that, let me just kind of set things up by giving you a little insight into who I am. And most of you know me, right? I love to be authentic. I'll tell you stories. I'll tell you my good days. I'll tell you my bad days. I'll tell you the things I do well and the things I fail at. I don't mind you knowing me. But there's some deep thing about me that I just haven't really put out there. Maybe if you know me really well, you'll know this, is that kind of in my deep core, I have this desire, and it's this thing that often drives me sometimes, but that desire is simply this: I love making people happy. If you were to ask me, Jim, what do you love doing? I would say, man, if I could do anything, I would just make people happy. I'd buy a little ice cream truck and drive around and play the music and just be like, what do you want? Oh, baby, today it's free. You know, I would just, that's what I would do all day long. My dream job is just to be like that server, you know, that just brings around water or tea or any other beverage of your liking. And so when I get to your table, you're like, hey, I'm thirsty. I'm like, man, I'm going to solve all your problems here in this moment, you know, and just pour that liquid, oh, and you are just so happy. I just, that would delight my soul. I love making people happy. It's my thing. It's my jam. And if you don't believe me, you can ask my family because they will tell you. Sometimes they ask, hey, Dad, what do you want to do? I'm like, you know, there are 1,000 things that I want to do. But what I really want to do is what you guys want to do. So what do you want to do? And they'll tell me. And as long as the people in my family are happy, I am having a great time. And that is across anything that we do except ballet. I had an emotional, traumatizing experience in ballet when I was 7 years old with my little sister who couldn't dance, and I still had to watch it. Anyway, I just don't do ballet. But still, that's the whole point, right? You know, I do these things to make people happy. Well, a side note, it is so interesting that that's kind of who I am as a personality. And this actually describes some of you in the room. Some of you are just like me. You love making people happy. Some of you are the opposite. Glad you're in the world. So anyway, just, you know, but we're still, we do this thing. And so there's this wiring in us. And in that wiring, I often look at scripture, and sometimes I come across things that just absolutely fit my wheelhouse. Have you ever had a scripture that just absolutely fit where you were? Maybe you're just a person of mercy and you read a scripture about mercy, or maybe you're a person of, you know, of love. You're like, oh, it's about love. Maybe you're a person of truth and there's scripture about truth. You're like, yeah, this scripture is me. It is in my wheelhouse. I can do this one. Well, on occasion, I read a scripture that is absolutely in my wheelhouse, that I love, that I can do. And that's the scripture that we find here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It's a beautiful one. And it simply says this. This is Paul speaking to us. And remember, this is the start of a new thing. He's done the power words. He's done his personal story. Now he's shifting gears. And he says, as for other matters. Okay, we've talked about those other things. Now let's shift gears into something different. As for those other matters, brothers and sisters, we instructed you how to live in order to please God. You can go ahead and underline that, because that's just where we're going to be today. That you were instructed on how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are now living. You're doing this. Now, we ask you and urge you in the Lord to do this even more and more and more and more. Make that your thing. Make that your jam. Live to please God. That's this amazing, simple truth that Paul is giving us here in chapter 4. He's like, man, if you don't get anything, if you don't get anything from the words, if you don't get anything from the personal story, then get this in chapter 4, that our calling, our journey is to live to please God. Now, I read this as a person who loves pleasing people, and I'm like, oh, this is my thing. But this isn't just for those of us that love pleasing the people that are around us. Do you know that every human being is wired by divine design to bring glory to God, to bring worship to God, to bring celebration to God, to bring joy to the heart of God, to please Him? Do you know that is absolutely humanity's divine design? And if you don't believe me, just look around. You can look currently at any race, culture, country, continent, place, wherever you want to look. You can look through history at any point in time and people in history. And everywhere you look, you will see people who are worshiping or have worshiped, who are celebrating or have celebrated, who value something that they feel is divine. Everywhere. There's not a country or culture or time in history when that wasn't true, that it is a universal constant that we as human beings, as people, worship something. Now, what they worship is all over the map, right? Absolutely. What people have chosen to worship is all over the place. You look at history and see people have chosen to worship trees. They've chosen to worship ancestors, stone objects, wood objects. Some people have chosen to worship the elements. And currently, we tend to worship ourselves, our careers, our journeys, our lives, who we are, even our sexuality. Those are the things that we have chosen to value above anything else. But make no mistake, whatever it is that you have placed at the core and center of your life, it's the thing that you worship, and we all worship something. Every single one of us has something in the center of us that we value, that we celebrate, that we seek to please. And that thing is a part of our DNA that God has placed in there, because our DNA is to worship. The Apostle Paul gets at this a little bit when he's writing the book of Romans. He's like, hey, listen, do you guys know that you're all designed to worship and celebrate something greater than yourself? And so he's writing these words in Romans chapter 1, verse 19. He says this, since what we may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal powers, divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what was made, so that people, all of us, none of us, are without excuse. This is natural revelation. This is God saying, everywhere you look, you see a divine imprint. Where there should be chaos, there is order. Where there should be just simplicity, there is complexity. Where you look around and say, man, something greater than us did this. And that is that divine imprint. And God says, you see it everywhere. It's natural revelation. And then Paul goes on to say this, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened, and all they claimed to be wise, they actually became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like us, made to look like birds and animals and reptiles. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and here it is, and they worshiped or celebrated or sought to please, sought to serve created things rather than the Creator. Paul is saying a lot of stuff in that section of scripture in Romans, but one of the things he is absolutely making clear is that all of us in some way, shape, form, or fashion were made to worship something. And I would say we were made to worship God. But often that God-given desire is turned to worship other things, and that's where the problem happens, right? C.S. Lewis, he's a great writer, great Christian writer, thinker, theologian. He wrote these words, and I love them. He says this, if we find ourselves with a desire, you know, that nothing in this world can satisfy. You ever been there? You know, a desire, you're like, man, I got this desire for a relationship, but I can't find any relationship that works. Or, you know, I've got this desire for success, but no matter how much success I have, it never seems to fill me. I've got this desire for this or this or this. You know, we have these desires, and when we achieve them, when we grab a hold of them, when we finally get them, we're like, yes, this must be it, the pinnacle of my existence. And we get there and we're like, meh. Why is that? C.S. Lewis says, if you find in yourself a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, you know what? That simply means the most probable explanation that you were made for another world. My friend, you were made for something greater than anything that you can find and experience in this place that we live. And that is by divine design that God has placed in you an imprint, a desire, a yearning to be with him, to be in his presence, to experience his power, to worship and celebrate who he is. We are people who've been given this God purpose to turn our hearts toward him. Now, I have said this before to different people. This is not a new thought, by the way. You can read it, see it anywhere. Sometimes when I say it to people that aren't Christians, they're like, oh, that God that you worship then just must be so selfish. He's just made it all about him, you know? And I'm like, no. You don't understand how this works. My friend, when I turn my heart and my affections and who I am toward God, you have no idea what gets poured back into me. Because when I turn my heart and affections and direction and choose to celebrate and worship God, my very DNA cries out that it has found its purpose. My heart comes alive because it's discovered the thing it always wants to do. My desires that cannot be satiated by anything in this world has finally found the one thing that is bringing life and hope. And as I turn my heart and worship toward God, God in turn pours his presence into me. And finally, for the first time in my life, I have joy, I have peace, I have presence, I have power, I have purpose, I have Jesus. Now, absolutely, for sure. We see something happening. Pastor Jordan mentioned it a little bit earlier. We see revival kind of happening all around. And some people have asked me, Jim, what is that? What's going on? It's two things. One, people are getting in the presence of God. They're just seeking God and they're traveling thousands of miles and standing in line for hours just to be in God's presence. But it's not just a one-way thing. You know why they're doing that? You know why this is the most monumental thing that's ever happened in their life? It's because in turn, God has poured back into them the thing that is making life show up in a way that nothing else has. And they're willing to stand in line for hours and sit out in the cold and just do whatever it is it takes to get in God's presence. Why? Because our greatest joy comes from our worship of the one true God. That's what we were created to do. My friend, if you are looking for joy, satisfaction, peace, and if you have tried everything in this world and you have found it lacking, then understand this, you need to try Jesus Christ because he is the one you were created for. The greatest joy, the satisfaction we'll find in life is when we are most fully engaged in following the one who created us, and that is Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul is getting at. When he gives us this statement that we should live to please God, he's not saying, hey, you should just be slaves to this creator that is out there. He's like, no. You live to please God because when you live to please God, woo, man, life gets good. And finally, it gets to back to what it needs to be. And God is glorified and you are filled. Live to please God because that is where it's at. Now, I'm just going to hit the pause button just for a second here. We could finish the rest of chapter 4, and we will. We're going to do that next week. Chapter 4 has verse 2 in it that simply says this, that pleasing God, we do that by doing his will. And I love talking about the will of God. It's super fun. It's super awesome. I don't have enough time to do it justice this morning, so we're going to start that message next week. So this is a part 2. What I'm going to do this week right here, right now, is I'm going to take you to the starting place. Because some of you are asking the question of me right now, Jim, okay, live to please God, please God. Okay, how do I do that? Well, the starting place for pleasing God is always, always Hebrews 11:6. You know what Hebrews 11:6 simply says this, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Jim, what does that mean? What does it mean without faith that it is impossible to please God? Well, let me just define that a little bit for you. First, there are two kinds of faith that Hebrews is talking about here. The first kind of faith is simply what we would call saving faith, right? It's that moment that we trust. Faith equals trust. It is that moment that we trust the gospel message of Jesus Christ. What's the gospel message? Simply this. One, we are broken. Every single one of us, we're broken. We got sin in our life. Some of us may look better than others. Some of us may carry it better than others. But my friend, at the end of the day, we're all in the same boat. We might have a different oar, but the sucker is sinking. That's the problem, right? That's all of us, every single one. There's no one out of that boat. We're all in the same, all of humanity. That's the bad news. The reason the gospel is called the good news is because Jesus, the one who walks on water, who doesn't need a boat, he's the one that comes over and grabs us and takes us out and brings us to the glorious shore of his redemption and his truth and his mercy. And that is the good news, that Jesus meets us wherever we are, wherever we're sitting in that boat, no matter what oar we have in our hand, and he says, it's not working, follow me. And faith comes in the fact that we trust getting out of the boat. We trust and have faith that when we get out of what we've been holding on to so tightly, some of us, our hands ache because of the oar that we've been holding on to, that is our sin, that is our identity, that is our brokenness, that is our mess. We're like, if I let go of this, I'm gonna drown. And you're like, dude, that oar is gonna sink you if you hold on to it. And the faith is that we turn loose of that and we walk with Jesus to the place where he has for us. That's called saving faith. We believe that, we trust that, we surrender. And when we do that, by the way, which happens all the time, already this morning we've had people come to Christ. Last Sunday it happened, it was awesome, it was amazing, it's really cool, I love it. We did a couple extra baptisms at the end of third service. We're like, oh my goodness, Jesus is doing a work. It's really cool. When that happens and people give their lives to Christ, they surrender, not only do we celebrate, God celebrates. Saving faith pleases God, brings joy to his heart, brings joy to his life. Not only does God celebrate, the scripture talks about how all of heaven, all the angels, when someone comes to Jesus here on a Sunday morning, the angels are like, woo, it's a party. You know, they maybe even spell your name. Give me a J, give me an I, you know, and do little party favors. You know, the balloon popping, if it's a boy that came to faith, it's blue. If it's, anyway, I don't know how to do it. Anyway, I'll let them handle their celebrations. But the point is simply this, that all of creation celebrates when people walk in saving faith. But I want to tell you, that's not the only kind of faith there is. That's not the only kind of faith that pleases God. In fact, I would say sometimes that saving faith, we can think it's a one and done deal, right? Yeah, sure, I've done that. I've embraced Jesus Christ. Now I'm good to go, right, Jim? I'm good to go to live life how I want to live it. And we do this, yes, spontaneous or instantaneous redemption, but true transformation comes through daily choices that we make to follow Jesus. Now, we get instantaneous redemption, but transformation is those daily choices that we make in faith to follow him. You're like, Jim, is that scriptural? Absolutely. What did Jesus say when people came up to him and said, hey, how can I do this relationship? Jesus said this. He said, hey, lay down everything and follow me. Now, follow me once, not in one choice, not in just a moment, not in a couple of hours, not in a day, not in a week, not when we got tired, not when things got old, not when things got tough. Jesus just simply said, lay it down and follow me always. And that's this beauty of everyday faith. It's these choices that we make that are choices that are bound up in faith. And that's what Hebrew talks about. When you read all of Hebrews chapter 11, which is the faith chapter, you see story after story after story of men and women who have not only experienced saving faith, but they've got this daily faith, this daily trust in who God is and what he's doing. They trust God's word that it is true and that it should be followed. They trust God's good heart. Sometimes it takes faith because our circumstances aren't feeling good. You know, the things around us aren't looking good, and we have to trust the good heart of God. We have to trust his path and have faith that what he is putting before us is the best, that our surrender to him, we have to trust that it is not optional, it is necessary for us to have everything that we need to do this day, right here, right now. Now, God is not calling for perfection, by the way. You will never hear me preach perfection, that's what you need to be in all of your actions, because that is absolutely impossible. We desperately need grace every single moment of every single day. But I do preach pursuit, because that's what this is. It's the daily pursuit of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's this faith journey. Faith is embracing all of that, grabbing hold of all of that, letting that shape our lives and change our choices. And we're giving example and example, example after it. I only have time to mention one. It's actually my favorite, and I'll do it real quick. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, there's a story of one guy that it's not a story about saving faith, it's as much about living faith. And the guy's name is Abraham, and I'll just read it to you real quick, Hebrews 11, 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country, and he lived in tents just like his sons, Isaac and Jacob. Then what I appreciate about this story is simply this. Abraham lived in a town named Ur. It was just this little random town. He was comfortable. He was making a good living. It was this counselor that everybody knew him, his family. He lived there for years and years and years and years. He was absolutely comfortable, right? And God shows up. God says, Abraham, I'm calling you. You're worshiping a false god. The god of Ur was Nana, which is not your grandmother. It's a moon god. Anyway, he says, you're worshiping this false god, and that doesn't do anything for you. He just kind of waxes and wanes through the sky, doesn't change or do anything. I am the real God. Abraham, will you choose to follow me? And Abraham says, absolutely. What's the deal? And God says, just pack it all up, bro. Just pack it all up, and we're going to head out of here, and we're going to get to this place. It's going to be awesome and glorious. And Abraham's like, awesome. My wife's going to ask where it is, so let's just make a map here and just mark it on it, because she's the planter in our family. Let's see. And God simply says, I will tell you when you get there. How many of us would follow God that way? And yet Abraham made daily choices to keep following God. Was he perfect? Oh, dear Lord, in heaven, he was not. You just go read the story of Abraham. That dude was a train wreck. But he was God's train wreck. And God used him and loved him and was so pleased by not all of his actions, but he was so pleased by his faith and his willingness to follow him. And in that transaction, here's what I love about this story. This is where it's gonna get real for us. It wasn't just Abraham doing this thing for God, right? When God said, hey, Abraham, follow me, it didn't just end there. Hey, you do this thing that I want you to do, Abraham, and I hope it works all right for you. Wasn't anything like that. Here was the actual promise. God said to Abraham, Abraham, you follow me. And when you follow me, man, I'm gonna pour blessing out on you. I'm gonna pour life out on you. You're gonna be the father of many nations. I know you don't have any kids. I know your wife is barren. You just leave all that up to me. I'm gonna pour into you, because your DNA was designed to be in this kind of relationship with me. And you're gonna experience more life and more hope and more joy than you ever would if you stayed in Ur. And my friend, that is the same journey that we're called to do. That is us following the good heart of God. That is having faith and trusting in who God is. And it's not just a one-way street, but when we have faith and trust in who God is and we choose to follow him and we worship him and we live to please him, then our very lives come alive. as God pours into us his peace and his grace and his mercy and so all of those things that we've been looking for in relationships and in addictions and in this world and in our jobs and in success and in failure and in everything else, God simply says, follow me and I will pour that into your heart and your soul. It's this beautiful thing that God has done and how he works in us and where our DNA comes alive with life, hope, joy, and promise. So let me just give you a last statement. The last statement is this. Live to please God. Not because God needs it. He absolutely deserves it. But because you do, my friend. You need what God absolutely wants to pour into your heart and your life. And I don't mean need just a little bit. If you're like me, you're desperate for it. Desperate for the presence of God, for his joy, for his peace, for his sustaining power, for his mercy, for his forgiveness, for his purpose. When we live to please God, all those things are poured into us, and we finally come alive the way we were created to be and born again to experience. Amen? Amen. I want to pray for us. Jordan and the team is going to lead us in one final song. Let this song be a song of just worship and celebration, of laying down. Prayer room is open. Let God work in your heart. Father, what a good word for me this morning. And I pray it's been a good word for the men and women, the students, the kids in here, that we have one truth, that we live to please you. Because you deserve it. But in that transaction of living for you, Father, you pour into us everything that we so desperately need. I pray life happens this morning. I pray we are laying down things. I pray people are just letting go of oars that they've been holding on to in that sinking boat, that we just experience you in a way that is so powerful and so real and so true and so transformative to our heart and our soul. We walk out of here not having made just one decision, but we've made 1,000 in our daily walk with you to be in your presence, experience your peace, and to know you're our Savior. Holy Spirit, do that work. Do that work in us today. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen and amen.
Hey, thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed today's podcast, don't forget to subscribe and share it with a friend. A special thanks to those of you who give generously to this ministry. It's because of you that this ministry is possible. If you'd like to find out more information about giving or to see what's going on in the life of our church, please visit us at fccsantamaria.org. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.